Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, let the Spirit in our heart seek and yield to your Holy Spirit as we each pursue our personal relation with Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. I like going to a church where it is evident that the people love the Lord. I was at a church like that last week. The man speaking had some kind of a leadership position in the Pentecostal church. He spoke well, and his subject was the death of Jesus on the cross, and the centurion saying in Matthew 27:54, "Truly this was the Son of God." The death of Jesus on the cross is written about in Matthew 27, Mark 15, and Luke 23. The question he addressed, though, that is this pastor, was why was anyone amazed that the death of Jesus Christ happened before the expected? Like in Mark 15:44, it says that Pontius Pilate marveled that Jesus was at that time dead already. So why were these people amazed that Jesus was already dead? It was because those Romans were experts at crucifying and killing people. For them, it happened all the time, and they knew the process, and they expected Jesus to live longer in suffering and pain upon that torture instrument, the cross. But God Jesus is in charge, and man is not in charge. As the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and finisher of life. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, by his own will, gave up his life spirit. Let's see, Luke 23:45 says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And let's see, John 10:11, "Jesus is the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep." So we have Jesus followers who very much give thanks to God for Jesus and his death upon the cross. We have so much joy that we give God Jesus praise and worship. And we know so much joy. It is the joy of a relation with Jesus Christ. And that inspires us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. That joy inspires us to live faithfully to that same gospel of Jesus Christ. As we feel that joy, and we are in the presence of believers who feel that joy of the Lord, then we have joy in our hearts. We have joy in our life. Joy is sharing Jesus. And I think of about 10 years ago, I was a part of a group that brought the apologist Paul Carden to Thailand to teach groups of believers at several planned events. And there were various people in those groups that wanted to learn. Generally, there were two groups of people. One that wanted to be more involved in their local Christ-following church. And the other group was planning to spread the gospel into the surrounding countries, like Vietnam and Laos and China. And these enthusiastic young people were willing to put their life on the line to further God's word into the surrounding countries. And when they did that, they knew it was dangerous, and it was, is. And I think of us here in America, how timid we can be to bring up God. Even in a greeting, we still have hesitancy to say, God bless your day, or may you walk in the love of Jesus Christ. And I wonder, why are we so timid? Why are we afraid? I don't know. But we seem to be afraid to spread the gospel, even to say the name of Jesus Christ. Are we so afraid of displeasing people? What about displeasing God? Well, when we look at what is at stake for us talking to people about Jesus, you know, that's the eternity in heaven or in hell, then we realize how important it is to spread the good news of the gospel. And we have that great commandment in Matthew 22:38 that tells us to love our neighbor. And friends, it is loving to want the best for people and to want them to go to heaven and not hell. So that's just another form of loving your neighbor. And we can do this with gentleness and compassion while we speak the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is loving our neighbor. Well, let's see. A church that I have visited often has a sign for everyone to see as they are leaving the church parking lot. It says, "You are now entering your mission field." Yep, see, we do not have to be a missionary in a far-off land. We can tell others near us about our own experience. We can tell people in our neighborhood, in our family. We can tell people about Jesus Christ and be a witness of our personal testimony. And maybe there are times that it is good to speak of hellfire. But for me, those times have been rather seldom. There's plenty enough to talk about when we share the love of Jesus Christ and talk about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It is good for us to pray at all times so that we have discernment to know when God's voice is speaking to us. We can pray and ask God and then listen for his answer. I do remember with my own experience that God's voice is not booming, but rather it is a still, quiet voice. And that's described in 1 Kings 19:12, when it says, "The voice of the Lord was not in the rocks that broke, and not in the strong wind or the earthquake, but it was in the still, quiet voice." That was Elijah. That was his experience. And I have experienced it only that one time, and that was enough for me. But I'm glad I had it happen once, to hear that big, shattering, booming, powerful voice in my head telling me about a scripture that was almost correct. And then 10 days later, I heard that soft, pure, quiet, and gentle voice. These contrasts helped me to discern the voice of, well, a satanic voice, and the voice of God. That was quite an experience. I certainly wondered why I had it. Why did that happen? And as much as I can tell, the reason it happened is so that I can tell you about it today. And today, with everything going on around us, we need discernment. And I think of the answer as we try to figure out what is true. And I know there's so many people who try to tell us what is true or what we ought to do. And so often we just do not get the whole story. We just don't grasp all of it, either because we're not told or we just don't see it. And I do know that life teaches us many lessons, and it also teaches us that there will be conflict. And oh yes, we do have conflict. And a part of our conflict is, as we go through life, do we listen to the voice of God of the Bible, or do we listen to the voices in the world? It can be quite a conflict when you try to figure that out. And oh, how we get consequences of our choices. Probably most of all, we really do make good choices, but we get lessons from the choices that are not so good. And all of our choices have spiritual consequences. And that is just life. Nowadays, we want to follow the biblical principles just as much as we are able. That's a real good reason to study the Bible, so we learn from the examples and we can apply them to our own life. We can make moral decisions based on biblical principles. And I've sure learned that lesson. I've thought how obvious it is that if I make this choice, well, it'll be better. But if it's a choice that follows a worldly orientation, I have found that it is not a better choice. And I have found that when you fear God instead of man, the choices following biblical principles always work out for the good. And I think of the book of Esther, how Mordecai would not bow to Haman. It's Esther 3:5. And so Haman planned to kill Mordecai. And then after, it seems like a few years, where there was that dynamic going on, God worked it all out. God worked it out very well for those who were faithful to God. And that's a lesson that we can pay attention to. God will work it all out when we are faithful to Him. And I think of our life being more satisfying when we follow a godly orientation. Some of us know that we have troubles in life. Oh, and I think of mine. I've had a few. And I think, why does God allow, like it was about 7 months ago I had that fire. Why did God allow that? And I think if we knew what God knows, we would say, okay, God, I understand. Sounds good to me. That's what I think I would say. Or that fire was something. When you have all your stuff burned up, I know I was grateful that my kids came over. That was very nice. And my daughter found about 50 of my old photographs. They were all had their edges burned up. But I was grateful to have those 50 photographs. Not much survived. A couple of spoons and those photographs. Oh, well. And that is what happens eventually. Eventually, we say goodbye to everything anyway. That's just life. But I am thankful, I want to say this, to all the listeners who sent a little greeting or a few dollars my way. That was very nice, and thank you very much, and I do remember you in prayer. You know, dollars are always helpful. They help so many things, and they can help me with this broadcast, too, and anybody who wants to can send a few dollars for a donation to that, this broadcast. It would be very nice. Yeah, that's my little promotion here. Okay, and again, my name is John Stephenson at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll give that at the end of the broadcast again. But I am calling out for people to do what is godly, to turn from sin and do what is God's will. And sin is contrary to God's will. I know I think about the things in the Bible just plenty. I think about Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33. Those are some pretty powerful passages for me. And a part of what I think we do is we tell people and warn them about why they need Jesus in their life. And that those chapters in Ezekiel are just another way of saying that. So we are to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is hope and love. I know in the old days I've had plenty of problems. I've seen them. Well, mostly I've seen them. I didn't really have them myself personally, but I knew lots of people who did. That's just how business goes. And some of them were big problems, some of them were little, but problems in history as well. That is just life. We have problems, and the best way to avoid them that I have found is to follow biblical principles. That is the best way of avoiding trouble. But I'm also a preparedness person, and I think of how we can prevent bad outcomes, and I think a part of what we do is prepare for the just in case. Like I said, I have seen problems with plenty of people, and I know that if there was a little bit of planning, people would not have had the problems they had. And that's why I warn people about the possibilities of troubles to come. All sorts of possibilities. And so I think it's good to have a little preparation for whatever it is you see. It might be repair items for your car. It might be having a flashlight with you or spare clothes or whatever kind of supplies that you can grasp that are good to have for you and your family or for other people. It's just what I think is a good idea. We all get in tough spots from time to time. And if there was a natural disaster, we would all be in a tough position. We've had a couple of them. They just don't happen too close together. But they certainly do happen. And a little bit of preparation can save a whole lot of trouble later on. I think there is plenty of information if you're looking for it. There's the Office of Emergency Services, and there's different agencies, service agencies or police agencies. They all have lists that you can look over. I've also seen medical facilities and corporations that have emergency lists. And I think it's good for everyone to look at those. Now, it's something that takes a little effort. It's not that it's such an easy thing to do, because you have to decide what your orientation is to preparedness. How prepared are you going to be, and what is it going to be for? And then you have decisions along the way, like, do I want a good quality of toolkit and a good quality of food, or am I going to be satisfied with something that's just okay? Well, you can get the just okay and then replace those things and add quality tools or quality foods later on. That is just what we do. That's the way to do it. Because we can only do what we do, and we certainly ought to not get into debt for any of the preparedness things that we do. So, do something. I mean, if you do nothing, you already know what the results are going to be. You will have no preparations. But if you do something, you have some preparations. Something is always better than nothing. Well, do analyze the problems that you foresee could come your way. And then you take a few steps to do something about preparing for that problem. Doesn't have to be much, but it can be. That's all a part of our own evaluation. And always, prayer is a good thing to do to help you to understand and see what just might be coming your way, our way. I know the Bible says plenty about what's going to happen in the future. It just does not give a time frame, not one that we can understand anyway. I think that we can really see those big events, though. I think about all the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all have something in it. Matthew 24:4, Mark 13:5, Luke 21:8. They all talk about wars and earthquakes and pestilence and famine. And famine, now that's something we can do something about. And that's pretty simple. Just store some long-term foods and grains. That's what we can always do. Because when we get hungry, that changes our perspective on so many things. And we in Western civilization have not had very much hunger. We don't recognize that it is something that can hit us, can affect our lives. But all around the world, people know that famine can hit, people can be hungry, and that it is wise to store food. Everybody seems to know that except the Western civilization, which has been so blessed. Well, just look at all those things and make some determinations for what you think you can prepare for. You know, I just talked about those things that the Bible says are coming, wars, earthquakes, pestilence, and famine. But before that, in each of those Gospels, it says to be not deceived. And that's something that we really ought to put before everything. Don't be deceived. And we know that that is something we don't want to be deceived. So how do we put that into practice? Well, I think the first thing is we think about it, and then we see how it can apply. There are plenty of things that are declining. They're decaying in our life. If you look around, you can see so many things declining. Yes, physically, but morally. You see people who are willing to lie, steal, and deceive more and more. Even murder. We see that people are willing to take from other people in a way that causes their death. And they're just as things. Now, we don't want anything to do with that. It's better to spread random acts of kindness and love. I think that's what we are called on to do as Christians. Love is a big part of the gospel, and that is what we want to remember for how we deal with people. Funny, there's everybody has a little different perspective on these things. Oh, when I think of the people who want to protect the things that they have stored up, I just don't know quite what to say about it, because some people are so strong on protecting what they have, and they think, well, I've got a gun. Oh, boy, that is a really, oh, be careful about that one. Now, maybe it's the right thing to do sometimes. And I do remember how it used to be said that an armed society is a polite society. And I think of Chicago, or let's see, this year there was 1,800 shootings. And in Chicago, gun ownership is so highly, highly restricted. So many things are illegal. But still, 1,800 shootings this year. And I compare that with other states where you're allowed to open carry, and they have, well, very few shootings, especially compared. But there are concerns around us with what we do and how we live life. And somehow we do have to have a idea or a plan of how to deal with, troubles when they come up, because they will come to all of us. We have to learn to deal with people who want what we have. We have to learn to deal with people who are unbalanced, you know, crazy people. And there are getting to be more crazy people than ever before. So we have to have some orientation to that. Well, as I'm sitting here, I think of a story. Early 90s, it was about the Lubby's Cafe in Texas. And there was a shooting there, a shooter, and then there was a woman who went in there to have a meal with her parents. And she ended up testifying before Congress. And it was a terrible incident where I think it was 18 people who died, and that included her parents. And she said if she had only taken her gun inside and not paid attention to the sign that said no guns, she could have stopped that gunman. So I know that there are questions about guns all the time, all over the country. And we just have to make sure that whatever we're following is the godly and biblical morality. And we get to figure out how to do that the best. That is kind of what we do. But that gun talk makes me think of a prophecy that, I think it was about 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago I heard a man, Daniel Rhodes, prophesy. And he said one day guns would be outlawed in America, and it would be done by a female, a woman, and she would be the president. And so for all these years, I've occasionally remembered what he had prophesied, and I didn't think very much of it. And then along comes Kamala Harris, and I remembered it again, and I wondered about it. Oh, I still do wonder about prophecies, people, and I wonder about guns. They have been a big dividing issue in the USA. I was thinking of, there's a human rights activist that comes from North Korea, Yeonmi Park, and she had said that if 1 in 5 people in North Korea owned a gun, then Kim Jong-un would not be the dictator there. Very interesting. We have things to balance out and try to figure out in the world and in life. And lately I've been hearing about what's happening to the people who peacefully protested in Hong Kong and how they wanted to have American rights. And then they were arrested and transported to mainland China, where they are awaiting trial in an isolated prison cell. Often enough in China, if there is a dissident like that, somebody who's protesting, they get locked up without charges for months or even years. And that's just the system in many parts of the world. They don't have rights like we have. They don't have rights like the people of Hong Kong wanted for themselves. So, we have a lot of things that are going on in the world, and we get to try to figure it out. And I was just looking at the VOA news magazine, and from time to time they have interesting reports. One of them just days ago was about a testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee saying that there were Chinese troops on the southern border this month, that's just recent. And so apparently there are also Russian troops on our southern border that are near the Chinese troops. So there are reports, and we get to figure out what it means. Not easy. There are questions. But in that report, it also said that there were Chinese interests that were trafficking in drugs and guns and people and in illegal mining in Mexico, Central America, and South America. What is going on? We are at a time when there are conflicting interests all over the world, and they are affecting us right here in the United States. And somehow, we get to figure out what it all means, and what do we do? There's a conflict going on. What are we going to do? You know, one of the conflicts is about COVID-19 outbreak, and this was a report by Li Min Yang, who was working in China, and then she escaped to Hong Kong and then to the United States. She is a top virologist and had some statements to make. She said that the COVID-19 was developed by the PLA, which is the People's Liberation Army of Communist China. It was developed as a mechanism to destroy Western civilization. That's what she says. And there's so many people who have said things against the Chinese Communist government, and you know what happens to them. They disappear and are never heard of again. That's one of the things that happens to people in countries where there is a powerful dictatorship like in China. So, do leaders around the country really want to destroy America? Yeah, it seems like it, but they're not the only ones. We have plenty of domestic enemies that are willing to tear down our system. When I think of the vote questions that are all over the country, when I think of, well, a report out of California now that 1.8 million voters, well, now the way to say it is there were 1.8 million more votes than voters. So, how do these things happen? And all I can say is there are domestic enemies as well as foreign enemies who want to destroy America. And then what is the goal? As far as I can tell, it is they want to, quote unquote, build back better. And that is a phrase used by politicians all over the world for their plan. Destroy, and then, or after things are destroyed, then they will build back better. Well, you see it if you look. If you don't look, you don't see it. But it is going on. So many politicians were using that phrase in the last year. And we do have things that are going on that ought to not be going on in this country on all sides. Yes, by the politicians, and yes, by certain peoples. I know that there's vigilante movements in America, and they ought to not be going on. It is wrong to go outside of the force of law and the justice system, but there are people who want to take the law into their own vigilante hands. And you must remember that without law, we become lawless. And America, well, we don't do so well in a lawless situation. We must remember to be under God. And so, God bless America, and America bless God. I saw this letter, and I'm going to go over it. It's not a quick letter. It's kind of long, but I think it talks about the things that are going on in America from one point of view, which I think is pretty accurate. So the letter's from, young 30-year-old woman or something. She comes from a rich family and came to the United States and likes the United States values very, very much. She is, I'll tell you about her after I read the letter, but she is very concerned that the United States survives, and she sees troubles all around for America. So here goes the letter. Dear America, 245 years ago, the resolve, courage, and wisdom of your founding fathers forever changed the course of history with the ratification of your Declaration of Independence. Mankind was offered an unmatched societal ideal where human beings were recognized for what we truly are by nature, all created free and equal, endowed with uninalienable rights derived from our Creator. With your Constitution, your founders sealed these God-given rights and protected them by instituting a limited form of self-government along with a robust justice system. This America is what makes your nation exceptional. It is why you have stood as a beacon of democracy and hope for all subjugated people all over the past two centuries. During some of our world's darkest times, we remember how you fought for those who could not defend themselves from tyranny at the cost of your own brave men. The world is forever in debt to you for your sacrifice, and we are grateful for the refuge you provided for those who needed to flee persecution. America, this is your heritage, and the reason we still look to you as our champion of liberty. Those currently fighting for their freedoms across the world value your brave founding fathers. From the peaceful Hong Kong protesters who proudly brandish the American flag in the streets, to the Iranian students who refused to walk upon the stars and stripes painted on the ground by the Iranian authorities, intended for the students to walk upon them at Tehran University. Those people who live under oppressive regimes know firsthand the value of being free. They know that America is the ultimate shelter for the downtrodden. However, in America, we watched the gratuitous violence as streets burned and as buildings and statues are defaced. This has been over the past months. I am brokenhearted to see an entire generation was successfully brainwashed into hating the very nation that has yielded the most freedom, justice, and equality to exist anywhere in the world. I am also highly distressed by the blatant erosion at various levels of your most basic individual rights and freedoms, as guaranteed by your Bill of Rights, from arbitrary censorship of speech to the unlawful, politically motivated abuses of justice. America, this is why I feel compelled to address you. Although at first glance I am an unlikely messenger, rest assured that the name I carry is antithetical, which means opposite, to the values I hold. My heart is in the right place with you. The level of urgency, coupled with the platform afforded to me by my circumstances, compel me to speak up and warn you before it is too late. The question is, how did we get to this point? The truth is that America has been in a state of undoing for decades. This has been done by the globalist, or the deep state, or the swamp. Whatever name you call them, they have been at work very hard to weaken America's sovereignty and standing as a world leader. They are intent on erecting a new system of world order where they would be in total control. They are seeking to undermine the fundamental principle of your country, and that is to say, a government for the people and by the people, and replacing it with a world order of international institutions, ultimately puppeted by a caste of technocrats, oligarchs, and international bankers. Although your Constitution stands firmly in their way, it never really deterred them. They infiltrate government and intelligence agencies and all realms of society, including education, media, entertainment, and culture, as they have had at their disposal the tools of mass population influence with propaganda, fake news, and censorship. They set out to destroy your fundamental values and divide you. They negated God, dissolved the family unit, and severed us from moral objectivity, effectively leaving a vacuum of degeneracy, cognitive dissonance, and absurdity. This social engineering operation took place as we were lulled into a sense of comfort and complacency due to modern technical progress and liberal appeal. In reality, we are being driven further down the path of enslavement, while they solidified their plans in a covert power grab. However, they did not count on a great awakening of the people, who were tired of being crushed by the self-serving economic policies of the elite. Nor did they foresee COVID-19 and its effects that highlighted the system's gross failings. From overdependence on the global supply chain to corruption in major institutions such as the UN, the World Health Organization, and Real News. Well, Real News is what will bypass their controlled mainstream medium and those outlets. And they never thought that Hillary Clinton would lose. That was another game changer. And ever since President Trump's victory, these nefarious forces have done everything in the power to stop him and created hoax after hoax, which failed. But despite their relentless attacks on all fronts, President Trump has demonstrated that he is the only leader who can save us from a bleak future. As evidenced by his team effort, the results of his America First policy, they speak for themselves. Domestically, he removed handicapping regulations, and that allowed America economic growth. He rebuilt a depleted military, brought back manufacturing, and revamped dying industries by negotiating trade deals and cutting taxes. He achieved energy independence and curbed immigration, all of which contributed to a record low unemployment rate. He also saved taxpayer dollars by withdrawing from international organizations and agreements. Remarkably, he tackled neglected issues such as human trafficking and unjust incarceration. He defunded Planned Parenthood, took care of disregarded veterans, and lowered prescription drug prices. All of these undertakings prove how much he values the lives and well-being of all Americans. To name a few achievements of his, he stood up to China, kept us out of new wars, made Europe comply with their NATO requirements, solidified ties with Israel, overturned the disastrous Iranian deal, obliterated ISIS, took down other key terrorists, and facilitated a historic peace deal between Israel and the UAE. His administration also made the worldwide Christian persecution a top priority of the State Department. With President Trump, America can be a beacon of liberty and hope for all. Making America great again means restoring America's foundations, and it shows the best is yet to come. If, however, there is a Biden-Harris administration, all of Trump's achievements will be torpedoed, and the dream of America's enemies to see her weak and on her knees would be fulfilled. Make no mistake, America, you are under attack. An attack that is supported by fake news propaganda and violent Marxist groups, such as Antifa. They have pushed an agenda of fear-mongering, hypocrisy, lies, and destruction onto you, the American people. And their only motivation is to achieve power. While your Judeo-Christian values are repudiated and there is utter disregard for your individual rights. If the present insurrection is successful, law and order would unravel, and this would end your republic as we know it, and tyranny would inevitably ensue. So that is her letter. It ended saying, and this is my words, that our republic and our society would unravel and tyranny would quickly follow if we go on the path we are on. And we've now found that this is the path we are on. So again, in my words, I would say, you'd better get some food supplies in case we have to get through some chaotic times. Yeah. Oh, this letter. Let me tell you about the author. It was written by a 30-something-year-old woman. She was born in America, went to school in Switzerland, and returned to America from Saudi Arabia. She comes from the line of a rich family, the Bin Laden family of Saudi Arabia, and her name is Noor Bin Laden. Now, we know the terrorist name of Bin Laden. He is one of three brothers in the Bin Laden family that own a construction company in Saudi Arabia. And apparently, Osama bin Laden did not go into the family construction business. Instead, he insisted on going the way of Islam and became a devout Muslim. And that meant he was a terrorist. And he was very popular among Muslim people all around the world because of his attacks on the USA. But this woman who wrote the letter, Noor bin Laden, she is a strong supporter of a Christian and a free America. But she points out some of the dangers that we are facing. And let's see, on at the end of that letter, there was a patriot who wrote this commentary, America. You are very close to the edge of a precipice. Please wake up, fight for your country, be proud of your roots, uphold your values, cherish your nation, defend your history. Do not allow the destruction of your nation. So, anyway, these things are available on the internet, and I think that one was by The Speculative World. Spectator World. There it is. But we can see how there is a decline in America, and that is one pretty clear view of how things are ready to go. They are ready to go into decay and chaos. And there are plenty of people who want to see that America ends up in decay and terror. And chaos. There's plenty of people who want to see that. It's been a plan, and that plan has been shown here and there. There was a cover of the magazine The Economist out of England. Pretty sure the year was 1988. And it showed all the currencies of the world burning and a new, well, they called it the Phoenix, emerging out of the fire to have a new order and a new system. So this that she talks about as being a plan by some of the elite people, it's obvious. It's just that we don't look, and so we don't see it. We're too busy with our own lives and doing things with our families and with our surviving, just the day-to-day price increases. But those kind of things are in our future. It's and if the current so-called president gets his way, we will see changes due to climate change, and there will be more lockdowns like he wants, and this will cause an economic and a social deterioration. There are people who want a collapse of the existing system so they can, quote unquote, build back better. That has been echoed by politicians all over the world for the last couple of years, and Biden is one of those people who has also said that. Now, if we people are not able to make the changes that we need, we are going to deteriorate, and you better know that some form of preparation is going to be beneficial for you and the people you love. We do want to find out who can lead us back to our roots, which is a Christian country, and so we need brave pastors. We need them who are able to reform a fallen America, I think, in the same mold that our founding fathers used to form us. That will keep us successful. So if you find any brave pastors who are able to do this, please support them. It's essential to our survival. Now you can hear any broadcasts again by going to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase and no spaces. You can also get my free preparedness pamphlet. Hopefully it'll give you some ideas by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Meanwhile, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.